الحمد لله الذي يحكم بالحق قطعا ويجزي كل نفس بما تسعى وإليه المآب والرجعى. الحمد لله الذي شرع لنا دينا قويما وهدانا صراطا مستقيما. الحمد لله القائل بعد أن أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. الحمد لله المعطي ما شاء لمن شاء لا معطي لما منع ولا مانع لما أعطى. الحمد لله الذي أنزل على عبده الكتاب ولم يجعل له عوجا وأتم علينا نعمته فجعلنا لخاتم النبيين تبعا. والصلاة والسلام على سيد ولد آدم العرب منهم والعجم محمد المصطفى وعلى آله وأصحابه وعلى من بدعوتهم إلى يوم الدين دعا. قال الله تعالى في التنزيل العزيز: وإذا سألك عبادي عني فإني قريب أجيب دعوة الداعي إذا دعان فليستجيبوا لي وليؤمنوا بي لعلهم يرشدون. This ayah that I just read to you towards the end in Surah Baqarah translates roughly as: and when my slaves ask you about me, then I am near. I answer the dua of the person, the call of the person who's making dua, whenever he makes dua. فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي, so let them answer me. وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي, or better translation, they should answer me. وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي, and they should believe in me. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ, perhaps they will be guided to the right path. Perhaps they'll strike the right chord. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. This ayah is remarkable on a number of counts. And I'm going to only mention a few things here because time is limited. The first thing that's really remarkable about this ayah is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. When people ask, when my slaves ask you about me, then I am close. In the Quran, if you read the Quran, the Prophet ﷺ is asked quite a bit. سَأَلَكَ, when they ask you, or when you're asked, the you here is the Messenger of Allah ﷺ. And he's asked a lot of things in the Quran, by the Sahaba, by the Mushrikeen, by the hypocrites. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala quotes those questions. For example, he says, يَسْأَلُونَكَ مَاذَا يُنْفِقُونَ. They ask you, they here being the Sahaba, ماذا ينفقون, what they should spend. قل العفو, say whatever is left over. قل, what is the word قل then? The Sahaba will sometimes come and ask the Prophet ﷺ for a fatwa. يستفتونك, they're asking you for a legal edict, a fatwa. قل الله يفتيكم في الكلام, say, the word there that's important is قل, say Allah is going to tell you about this inheritance. يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ السَّاعَةِ أَيَّانَ مُرْسَاهَا, they ask you about the hour, when is it coming? They're always threatening us about punishment. When is this punishment coming anyway? Here it's the mushrikeen who are asking the question. The response is similar, the template is similar. قُلْ إِنَّمَا عِلْمُهَا عِنْدَ رَبِّي, say that the knowledge of that, of the hour, is exclusively with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you notice in the Quran there's a pattern. When someone asks the Messenger ﷺ a question, and Allah quotes that question, and then he answers the question, he generally inserts the word قُل, say. Except here, he doesn't do that over here. He says, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي, when my slaves ask you about me, فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ, I'll answer your question. I am close. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not even put the word قُل between us and Him to show how close He is to us. It's remarkable because it's a departure from the style that the other parts of Quran have. And whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a stylistic departure, He talks about something in the entire Quran in one way, and in another part He talks about it in a totally different way. He's trying to point out something here. There's also a larger philosophical benefit that we can kind of spoon for thought to think about. All the other things I mentioned, inheritance, spending, they're all part things that we do as part of our faith. Whereas this is actually about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The question is actually who Allah is. So when we're asking about who Allah is, it directly answers us, telling us this is the most important thing that we need to learn. The answers for all these questions come directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not even the word qul is in between. Just the style tells you. The second thing that's remarkable is this ayah, there is a change of tone in this ayah. If you're reading Surah Baqarah, where this ayah is, you will notice the word كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْقِصَاصُ فِي الْقَتْلَى. Retributional killing has been made mandatory. Social justice issues. كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذَا حَضَرَ أَحَدَكُمُ الْمَوْتِ. These are ayat just before this ayat. Inheritance laws. كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ. Fasting is mandatory. The tone is a tone of legislation. Allah is telling us what is legislation and what is not legislation. And then He gets into deep issues and He talks about different subtopics. What happens if you can't fast? What if you're sick? What if you're traveling? All these issues are discussed. Right after this ayah, He talks more about this stuff. What is it that you can't do while fasting? Marital relations, but you can do after fasting, at night. I'tikaf. وَلَا تَأْكُلُوا أَمْوَالَكُمْ بَيْنَكُمْ بِالْبَاطِلِ. Don't rip each other off. Watching what you're eating, but then ripping the other person off, it defeats the purpose of fasting. All these ayat are there, and then the tone is a legislative tone. Allah is telling us what to do. But here the tone changes. The tone changes. And also what's remarkable is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says everything in first person here. I am close. I answer. So let them, they should believe in me and they should answer me. That it's first person singular. This is rare in the Quran. Generally Allah speaks in third person. Most often, هو الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة. He is the one who created you. Excuse me. He created you from a single soul. Or in plural, وأنزلنا من السماء ماء طهورا. We have sent down pure water from the sky. You notice, generally in Quran translations, you will find that. Rarely does He speak in first person, singular. And when He does so, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah knows best the wisdom, is to show that there is a personal connection. He's talking to us personally. It's like He's saying, I got you. I got you. Trust me, I got you. This is very remarkable in the Quran. Him speaking in first person, singular, in the Quran, it's rare. And those occasions, it's like He's giving us counsel. Or He's giving His messenger some counsel. Like having a private conversation away from the prying eyes of people. So in this ayah, the tone is different. It's not a legislative tone. And it's first person singular. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, I'm close to you. I'm here for you. I'm ready to answer you. Are you ready to make dua? The third thing that's remarkable is where this ayah is placed in the Quran. Where Allah places this ayah in the Quran. One of the most remarkable things about the Quran is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places ayat. And what He implies by that. What He implies by placing an ayat in a certain place. This is done by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is divine revelation. The order is divine. For example, in Surah Baqarah, we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talking about talaq, divorce, widows, ladies who've lost their husbands. In Surah Baqarah, towards the end, for a very long passage, and all the khufas, mashallah, struggle in that passage. It's a very long and difficult passage. But just towards the end of that passage, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says something really interesting. He says, حَافِظُوا عَلَى الصَّلَوَاتِ وَالصَّلَاةِ الْوُسْطَى وَقُومُوا لِلَّهِ قَانِتِينَ. Guard your prayers, especially the middle prayer, which is Asr. وَقُومُوا لِلَّهِ قَانِتِينَ. And stand up and while you for prayer, قَانِتِينَ. In humility. He pauses the discourse. He's talking about widows and divorcees. what the rights are, how you should deal with them. وَلَا تَنْتَوُ الْفَضَّ بَيْنَكُمْ. Don't let this spoil the relationship that you have as brothers and sisters in faith between you. وَلَا تَنْتَوُ الْفَضَّ بَيْنَكُمْ. But he pauses that conversation and says, protect your prayer. And right after, he goes back to وَالَّذِينَ يُتَوَفَّوْنَ مِنْكُمْ, the widows, talking about the widows. There's a reason for that. He's implying that divorce gets very stressful. A lady losing her husband because he died is a very stressful situation for her. I had a cousin who went through a divorce, and the entire family was, our own family was stressed out for a very long time. It takes an emotional toll on a person. So when he mentions this, Hafidhu ala salawat, he's saying divorce is gonna get it's gonna get difficult. Stuff is going to get hard. Don't lose your prayers. Don't lose your prayers in hard times. Also, what he's implying is to prevent divorce, guard your prayers. When a man leaves his house and goes out for salah 3-4 times a day, that's guarding your prayer. You're praying in jama'ah. You have to leave your home and go to the masjid and pray. Alhamdulillah, in Toronto, we're privileged. They have so many masajid. There's some parts in the States, I was doing a program, a tafsir program online, and there's people who email me sometimes from California, from Philadelphia. They're like, yeah, JazakAllah khair for doing this online. We don't have any masjids near us. We don't have any masajid near us where we can go and learn. We're so privileged. The fact that Allah says, Hafidhu ala salawat, means we leave our houses and go for salah. You see, when a husband is doing that as a habit, they're not getting on each other's nerves so much. Just personally, as speaking, me and my wife sometimes we're at each other, we're going at it, there's an argument going on, and there's Salat al-Isha time comes, I'm like, I'll come back from Salat and then we'll deal with this. And you go for Salat, subhanAllah, you calm down, you pray, you meet some nice brothers, shake their hands, feel bad about what you said, buy some chocolate on the way back. Right? Alhamdulillah, things are good. The relationship that was teetering on the edge of disaster, you go for salah, both of us get a break, alhamdulillah, things are back to normal. Hafidhu ala salawat, he's implying something here. Don't let stress affect your salah, and if you want to avoid the situation totally, make sure you're praying salah properly. The idea, the point to notice here is the ordering has an implication, particularly when it's odd. Here it is odd. Allah subhanahu has been talking about fasting and Ramadan, and he continues to talk about fasting. And in the middle is this ayah about making dua. It's Allah subhanahu implying that our Ramadan is going to be deficient unless we're making lots of dua. Our Ramadan is going to be deficient if we're not making a lot of dua. Not that you have to make up a fast or something, that's not the point here. But the spiritual benefit. كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. The idea of acquiring taqwa. Taqwa is the ability to protect oneself. Linguistically, that's what taqwa means. Protecting ourselves from the punishment of Allah. Protecting ourselves from sin. We are protecting ourselves. We watch so closely what we're eating. We leave things that are halal, training ourselves to leave things that are haram. That's fasting, isn't it? That's taqwa. But that taqwa doesn't just grow in a vacuum. Your fast could just be you having suhoor and then you're waiting for iflah. That's the entirety of your fast. That could be a fast. Or a fast could be extremely spiritual. And to make it extremely spiritual, this is what's needed, dua. That's what this ordering is implying. That's where the ayah is placed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nusuf, that's what it tells us. Dua, Ramadan is the time for dua. This is the time. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said that the dua at the time of iftar is accepted. The dua is at the time of the last third of the night. The last part of the night is accepted. That's when you're having suhoor. Suhoor and iftar are the two most important events during Ramadan. Both those times are times where dua is especially accepted. And to the point where Allah Ta'ala, in a way that befits His Majesty, He comes down to the sky of the earth, of this sky that we have, the sky of the earth, and He says, towards the end of the night, when they're all having suhoor and having parathas and whatnot, right? He is saying, He's there and He's saying, هَلْ مِنْ تَائِبٍ هَلْ مِنْ مُسْتَغْفِرٍ فَأَغْفِرُ لَهُ. Is there anybody who's asking for forgiveness so I can forgive him? هَلْ مِنْ تَائِبٍ فَأَتُوبَ عَلَيْهِ. Is there anybody who wants to change their life so I can help them change? Is there anybody who's doing that? And again, notice first person. He uses first person even in this hadith. Singular. To show there's a personal connection here. This is, our Ramadan is going to be deficient unless there is lots and lots of du'a. The fourth thing that is absolutely incredible about this ayah, which is the answer to a du'a. You could say, well, we've been making some du'a this Ramadan, I'm not seeing any responses so far. What gives? Al-Qurtubi mentioned something really interesting. He says this ayah, in Surah Baqarah, this one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts no conditions on du'a here. He puts no conditions on du'a. As if He's saying du'a in Ramadan is unconditionally answered. Doesn't matter what your past was. Doesn't matter what you have done in the past. How far away you've been from Allah. What has happened in the past, it's almost irrelevant in Ramadan when it comes to making du'a. How so? Let's look at this part. أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ. This part of the ayah that says, I answer the du'a of the person who is making du'a, إِذَا دَعَانِ, when he asks. Not the other way. It's not that if he asks or when he asks, I will answer. That construction comes in another ayah. أُدْعُوا وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمُ ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. Your master has said, make dua to me, and if you were to make dua to me, أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. How do I get this if and then? It's because there's a sukoon on أَسْتَجِبْ. In language it's called madzum. It's a jawab of shart. A little bit of grammar, if you know, alhamdulillah, it helps. If you were to make dua, then I will answer you. In this ayah Allah says. In the ayah of Ramadan He says, I answer when a person makes du'a. The construction is different. The same message, but the construction of the sentence is different. That tells us Allah is answering du'as here whenever a person makes du'a. Whatever their situation has been. Unconditional answers in Ramadan. That's why we are told that Ramadan is a month of mercy and a month where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sets people free from the hellfire, because He answers their du'as. He answers their du'as. He gives them the tools and the ability to change after Ramadan. That doesn't come without a du'a being answered. It doesn't come without a du'a being answered. So the answer of a du'a is unconditional. This ayah is implying that. So it's remarkable that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used this ayah. He has told us, إِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي. He's put no barrier between us and Him. He's telling us He's close. And He's told us that, you know, He's there for us. He's got us. He's talking to us in first person. He changes His tone when He talks about du'a. Then He's implying that in Ramadan is going to be deficient unless there is du'a. That spirituality will be missing unless there's du'a. Aisha radiallahu anha, when she asked the Prophet, what should I do if I know when it is Laylatul Qadr? The Prophet said, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, make the dua, Allahumma innaka afuun, tuhibbul afwa, fa'afu anni. He gave her a dua. That's the spirituality that's needed in the last 10 nights of Ramadan, throughout Ramadan. And then what's amazing is that he's made dua unconditional in this ayah. Other parts in the Quran, he puts conditions. If you were to make dua, then I will answer. Here he's saying, I am answering. Whenever you want to make dua, I am answering. It's so incredible. It's telling us this is the time to make dua. قُلْ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِكُمْ وَاسْتَغْفِرُ إِنَّهُ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. The question remains, what of the du'as I've been making? There's no answers. Hasn't been any answers. The answer to a du'a is one of three things. Like the Prophet ﷺ told us in the hadith. It's either yes, or not yet, or I have something better in store for you. It's always easy. As long as a person is not making du'a for a sin, as long as a person is not making du'a to harm somebody else or hurt somebody else or a relative, as long as those things that are really common sense, you're making du'a for good, for yourself, for other people, it's du'a for good, it's not du'a for evil, then the answer is either yes or not yet, or have something better for you. I have something better for you is very interesting. That is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala storing a person's du'as that were not answered in the dunya, keeping them until the Day of Judgment. And there's a narration where a man comes on the Day of Judgment and he's told, here are your du'as that weren't answered. And he would be so overjoyed, he would say, I wish none of my du'as were answered. So the answer of the du'a is guaranteed. Do you know in the Quran, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about people who are making du'a, whether it's prophets, whether it is just lay people, random people, who we don't know who they are. When he talks about their dua, he says it's a done deal, it's already been answered. Musa alayhi salam says, رَبِّ شَحْنِي صَدْرِي وَيَسِّرْ لِي أَمْرِي وَحْلُ رُقْدَةً مِنْ لِسَانِي يَفْقَهُ قَوْلِي. He's making this beautiful dua before he goes and confronts a tyrant. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَالَ قَدْ أُوْتِيْتَ سُؤْلَكَ يَا مُوسَى. Musa, whatever you're asking has already been given to you. Your dua is a done deal. The answer of the dua is a done deal. It's answer, just make it. The young men who went and fled to the cave, Ashab al-Kahf, قَالْ رَبَّنَا آتِنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً وَهَيِّئْ لَنَا مِنْ أَمْرِنَا رَشَدًا. Master, our master, you know, protect us from these people. Atina min ladunka rahma. Give us mercy. Give us protection. Wa hayyin lana min amrina rashada. And fix our affairs. We're in trouble here. Our life is, you know, teetering on the edge of disaster. Fix it. The dua was answered immediately. Done deal. Fadarabana ala adhanihim. He put him to sleep. He rescued them. The answer was a done deal. In Surah Ali Imran, towards the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions people who are making dua. These are people who have a past. These are people who are not prophets. These are not people who are like Ashab al-Kahf, who are young men, strong faith people, young teenagers of strong faith. Just random people. Who are these random people? They're looking at the creation of Allah. They're looking at the sky. And that gives them the realization that all of this cannot just be for random purposes. All of this could not have just come about a random process. There is a purpose to it. And when that realization sets into them, they say, Rabbana, they make a really beautiful dua. But the part I want to focus on is, Rabbana, wa'atina ma wa'atana ala rusulik. No, sorry, before that. إِنَّنَا سَمِعْنَا مُنَادِيًا يُنَادِي لِلْإِيمَانَ أَنْ آمِنُوا بِرَبِّكُمْ فَآمَنَّا. رَبَّنَا فَغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا. Master, forgive our sins. وَكَفِّرْ عَنَّا سَيِّئَاتِنَا. Eradicate our past. Eradicate our past. We made lots of mistakes in the past. غَفِّرْ عَنَّا سَيِّئَاتِنَا وَتَوَفَّنَا مَعَ الْأَبْرَارِ. And just let us die with people who are good. Make us live with people who are good. Make us die with people who are good. We're nothing. We're not good anyway. We've got some little goodness in us. Just let us hang out with the right people. Eradicate our past and let us hang out with the right people. So we can be resurrected with the right people. These are people who have a past. And Allah says, فَاسْتَجَابَ لَهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ. Past tense. It's already answered. The dua is already answered. And it's made with sincerity. The Prophet ﷺ has told us this. Yes, not yet, or I have something better in store for you. It's already answered. So this is the time, brothers and sisters, for us to ask Allah, and to ask Allah, and to ask Allah. This is the time when Ramadan, we're in prime time Ramadan right now. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, رَبَّنَا إِنَّا نَسْأَلُكَ عِلْمًا نَافِعًا. We ask you, Ya Allah, for knowledge that makes us better. وَرِزْقًا طَيِّبًا وَاسِعًا. And for risk and sustenance that is pure. And it's lots and lots of it. Lots of halal money, lots of wealth, halal, that's pure. وَعَمَلًا مُتَقَبَّلًا. And we ask you, Ya Allah, that you give us the ability to do things and that you accept them. اللَّهُمَّ اغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا. Master, forgive our sins. We have a past. We've all made mistakes. اغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا. Forgive our sins. وَوَسِّعْ لَنَا فِي دُورِنَا. And expand for us our houses. Make us happy in our homes. Make us happy with our wives. Make us happy with our husbands. Make us happy. Let us find happiness in our homes. وَبَارِكْ لَنَا فِيمَا رَزَقْتَنَا. And bless us in what you have given us. Whatever you have given us, give us the contentment to be happy with that. Amin ya Rabbal Alameen. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلم تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وأقيم الصلاة